The newly declassified document released this weekend by the FBI describes how two Saudi nationals in the U.S. helped some of the Saudi hijackers who carried out the 9/11 attacks. Now, the heavily redacted report doesn't reach a conclusion about whether the Saudi government supported the attacks, but as we mark 9/11, it's a reminder of the high-profile Saudi family, the Bin Ladens, and their ties to the government. We know U.S. Special Forces killed Osama bin Laden, the mastermind of 9/11, in that daring raid in Pakistan in 2011. But what happened to the rest of the sprawling, once powerful bin Laden family? Steve Cole is author of the book The Bin Ladens, An Arabian Family in the American Century. Steve, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And we're realizing at this point in time that it's one of those points in time where we can't assume that everyone knows this history that's so profoundly etched, you know, for so many other Americans. So just who was this family in Saudi Arabia?
Well, they came from Yemen, actually, an area of Yemen known as the Hadramaut, which is a very remote area. And Osama's father, Mohammed, migrated as a child with his brother in harrowing circumstances, an economic migrant, and he arrived in Jeddah, which is a port city in Saudi Arabia. And he was a hustler, and he built a construction company, started out as just a porter, but eventually built a kind of contracting company. And he attached himself to the royal family. And after the Second World War, as the oil age boomed, so did his business. And he became, by the 1960s, the most important builder in Saudi Arabia. And he started to father an enormous number of children, ultimately 54 children by more than 20 wives. And he died in a plane crash in 1967, and he left these 54 children behind.
Well, and you say attached himself to the royal family at the hip. I mean, you know, this is the family, the bin Laden family, that would receive contracts for building huge shopping centers and palaces. And there was a lot of money splashing around here.
Well, they were certainly very wealthy. By the 1970s, their wealth really, as in Saudi Arabia, rose and then flattened with global oil prices. And gradually he expanded outside Saudi Arabia to Lebanon, Egypt, the rest of the Gulf. And certainly by the 1970s, his children, even though he had a lot of them, each of them was receiving a dividend that's estimated to have been in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and that's 1970 dollars. So even by the standards of Saudi Arabia, this was a very wealthy family, and they started to acquire private jets. They were the first Saudis to have private jets, and a number of the sons of Mohammed became very avid pilots, private pilots, and some of his daughters, too, were flyers.
Well, they also became models in one case, and there's a niece who was a fervent Trump supporter. You know, there's a brother's multimillion-dollar mansion up for sale this summer in California for millions. It's bright pink. And one of the older brothers, a bon vivant who lived in the U.S., had high-level ties with corporations like GE. Many of them were living large. How did Osama fit into all of that?
They almost represented the dilemma of modernization in Saudi Arabia in this time of very sudden wealth, transformational wealth, and mobility. You could choose to be anybody you wanted to be in the world. You could live in Los Angeles, or you could live in Mecca. And Osama was on the far puritanical wing of the family. He became ardently religious in his private high school, quite a privileged high school that he went to. He became politically active. And then, of course, famously, he volunteered to fight in Afghanistan with other volunteers against the Soviet occupation. But what Osama became involved with was a post-1979 transnational movement of revolutionary politics. In the name of Islam, he was influenced by the Muslim Brotherhood, and then he sort of outgrew the Muslim Brotherhood and became even more radical in his sense of what God was calling him to do during his lifetime against infidels.
He attacks the United States on 9/11. The bin Laden family and their business somehow make it through that. They are standing on their feet when suddenly there's a huge shift. It's November 4th, 2017. We remember the news story where Saudi leaders rounded up like a few hundred top elite business men, they're all men, and detained them in the Ritz-Carlton, which seemed like an odd thing. And it was part of an anti-corruption move in Saudi Arabia. Many of the people there were the top bin Ladens of the Saudi bin Laden group, their huge business empire. Could it just have been that Prince Mohammed was making a power grab, taking the money of the bin Laden family?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I mean, it's true that if you and I were Saudi citizens, we would probably think the bin Laden's wealth was ill-gotten. It certainly was acquired through a process of contracting that was not transparent, that the rule of law was kind of a joke, and that there was lots of money for anyone who was connected and lots of struggle for everybody else. No question about it. But the process by which this justice was pursued, I put quotation marks around it by Mohammed bin Salman, was itself the same kind of undemocratic and sort of factional attack on political rivals that certainly didn't persuade too many people outside the kingdom that it constituted, you know, a new era of the rule of law.
Yeah.
Certainly signaled that there was a new sheriff in town. But Mohammed bin Salman has turned out to be different from many other members of the royal family because of his ruthlessness. He's shifting Saudi Arabia from its history as kind of a soft authoritarian state to a much harder one.
Yeah. Wow, what a story of a family, which you've been telling. What do you still want to know? What do you still want to tell about the bin Laden family?
Well, you know, it's such a diverse and interesting family, and the great majority of the bin Ladens are nothing like Osama. What's interesting about where we are now is that this generation, which really in itself contains the whole story of modernization in Saudi Arabia, good and bad, it's now entering its twilight. Bakr bin Laden is in his 70s, the youngest of the second generation is in their 50s. But there's a third generation, hundreds strong. They're scattered around the United States on our college campuses and universities, many of them now entering into midlife in their 30s. And they're kind of a hidden part of the Saudi American story that perhaps now with all this time, they will enjoy greater anonymity. No longer so many awkward moments putting down their credit cards with their names stamped on them.
Hmm.
But they are a part of American history. And I wrote the book because I thought it was a way to write about the real complexity of Saudi Arabia, to get out of the cartoon version that we often dealt with in the shock after 9/11, and to try to put Osama into a different frame without diminishing the evil character of both his thinking and his actions. But yeah, now I think enough time has passed that maybe this third generation can enjoy a little bit more normalcy.
The book, by the way, The Bin Ladens, An Arabian Family in the American Century. And Steve Cole, quick question. By the different estimates, it looks like Osama bin Laden, when he was on the run, he had about 19 children from 6 wives. What happened to them?
They're in different places. Some of them are fugitives, and some of them are living open lives in the West or in the Arab world. So that little group is kind of like Osama's generation. You have those who followed their father into battle and stayed committed to his ideas, and those who drifted away from him and adopted, you know, if not westernized, certainly multinational kind of global lifestyles and privilege and wealth in some cases.
Steve Cole, staff writer at The New Yorker, professor at the Columbia School of Journalism. Fascinating look at the bin Laden family. There was a time when just the name struck nausea and fear in hearts, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoyed talking to you.